This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 244. That's a 2 and a 4 and a 4. Of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
Did you watch anything this week?
I did watch some things this week. I watched a number of things this week. How about you?
I watched, I'm going to say, an excessive number of things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not surprising with you. You're usually like, oh, I watched 36 movies.
Well, I basically have been off since Tuesday afternoon, so yeah.
What's got you feeling so off?
No, as in off from work.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yep. Off from work. I've been off from work.
Yeah.
So... But, like, for instance, the wife and I, we watched all 10 episodes of season 2 of Virgin River.
Damn.
And I got to say, I have never seen a season of show that accomplished so little. And it was just, and like, you know, I usually watch a show, like a year goes by or a few months or, just some sort of extended period of time. And these 10 episodes, literally maybe a month went by.
Wow.
And very little, like they did not do a great job setting stuff up or leaving big cliffhangers. I don't know. It was just weird. It's like we watched the episodes and they went by pretty fast. But... it's like we didn't like nothing happened. Nothing of circumstance or consequence. And even like the big cliffhangers to the next season, we just found dumb. Like we enjoyed the first season. We really liked the first season. So we were looking forward to the season. And now that we've watched it, it's just like, okay, well, I guess if they do a third season, we'll watch it to see if it gets better again. But.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I know the first season was based on a book. Yeah. And so I thought, geez, did they run out of material from the book for the second season? No, they didn't. Because I looked into it because like maybe that's why this is so kind of nothing going on type of thing. But no, it was just.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, whatever.
That's too bad. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Letterkenny came back on Boxing Day there, the 26th. They put the new 7 episodes up on Hulu. I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll watch the other 6, but sometimes I feel like they beat their bits to death.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the show, haven't you?
Yes. I didn't watch as much as you did because I kind of came up with the same thing. I was like, all right, I feel like I've seen everything this show has to offer.
Yeah. I feel like they beat their bits to death sometimes, and they really did it. Like, really, really dragged it out in this episode multiple times.
Oh, that's
and
too bad.
Just kind of like, yeah, it was the first time I was like, oh, I hope this ends soon. Because this, it's not satisfying. So we'll see what happens with episode 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. We don't have a lot of shows to talk about because Mandalorian, we talked about that last week.
Yeah. I only have 6 shows listed, and I'm pretty sure that they're ones that you and I both watched.
Yeah.
What'd you think of 4 movies, but.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Shit, I watched 13.
Damn.
Yeah. Did you watch The Stand, episode 2?
Yep.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, am I being hypercritical here? But holy crap.
It was just a slog. It was just like the first episode was good, I thought. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Fast paced, if you will.
Yeah.
And just had a lot going for it, you know? Second episode, not so much.
No. Like almost the entire episode was the backstory of Larry Underwood.
Yeah, and
like I would say out of the hour and 5 minutes. Yeah, out of the hour and 5 minutes, it was probably 50 minutes was his backstory, like 5 months before up until now. And yeah, it wasn't that good. He was basically a piece of shit. And
yeah, drug addict.
Yep. Drug addict and, you know, musician, general POS, used women, used drugs. That guy came back into his life who was a dealer. And, you know, even after everything happened with his mom dying of the disease, all he cared about was getting the bag of coke from that guy. And he did.
He got his giant bag of coke that he snorted a lot of it. And it was such a slow episode. That was Heather Graham, was it not?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And we got introduced to her.
Yeah, Rita.
She's dead. She's dead.
Yep. She OD'd on pills.
Yeah.
She seemed to be going pretty well. You know, she seemed like she had a good life going and she was adjusting to the apocalypse pretty well, but couldn't take it down in the sewers and said, no, I'm just going up on the streets. And
yeah.
We also got Lloyd Henreid.
Yep.
Who seems to be in the good people's camp, but definitely was busted out of jail by Randall Flagg.
Only when he promised to be Flagg's right-hand man.
Yep. Yeah, we finally got Randall Flagg introducing himself.
Yes. Yep.
But now, like, we see how big of a piece of shit Larry is, but we're introduced to him, like, in the present where he's, like, he's got Amber Heard with him and this kid that they seem to be watching over. And
Nadine and Joe.
And he seems to be, like, a good guy. Like he's a stand up kind of guy. Well, and they were all looking forward to him showing up at the Colorado place.
He appears to have kicked the habit.
Yep.
You know, and, he's one of the leaders chosen by Mother Abigail along with Stu and Ray.
Yeah.
And, I feel like I have to sneeze. And Nadine starts to have visions of Flag.
Yep.
So, because if I remember correctly, well, in the original one, there was
stone from him.
Yes, and if I remember correctly, in the original one as well, there was people, there was infiltrators of Mother Abigail's commune, if you will.
Yep.
So,
probably I don't know. I thought that this could have been a lot better. Like you said, the first episode was good. It kept the pace up pretty well. This one just felt like a real slog to me. Like, I genuinely didn't care about this character. I didn't care about either one of them. Like, we barely got to see Lloyd, but basically the thing with Lloyd is that, you know, he was a hardened criminal, but his partner was even worse and said, you know, you got to kill this person. He's like, I don't want to. And then his partner gets killed. So he's like, oh, just take me to jail. But he's still an asshole in jail. And like I said, Larry was just an unenjoyable person. Like, I didn't care about him. So, of course I'll keep watching. I'm going to watch through the series. There's 9 episodes and, we'll see what happens, but yeah, I just didn't really like it.
On Star Trek Discovery, to stick with CBS All Access, you had to watch episode. I know I watched episode 8, and did you watch 6, 7, and 8?
Yes, I did.
Or just 7? Okay, I couldn't remember if you had watched 6 previously or not.
I think I had.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that I think we discovered. No, that's right. I had watched Die Trying, and I hadn't watched Scavengers yet.
Okay. I enjoy the show.
I enjoy the show. I don't know. The second season was a lot better for me.
Yeah.
I feel
well,
like in this
Captain
season.
Captain Pike.
Yeah, and this season, Book keeps showing up as a plot point.
Yes.
You know, he does it in episode 6 with Scavengers, where he's basically like, you know, oh, I sent my cat back and I'll be there to join you in a week. And basically Burnham's like, I got to go rescue him.
Yeah.
And George is like, oh, yeah, I'll go rescue him with you because, you know, that's what we do. We rebel and we do what we want to do. And
they go find and basically they went to that junk planet, if you will, the scrap planet. It always befuddles me how like Star Wars, Star Trek, we go to planets, but apparently the whole planet is the one town they go to and there's nothing else on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always like because, well, you know, Earth doesn't have just one town. Right. You know, we have a whole planet. So but all these other planets, just, you know, one town.
It's a video game thing too, I'll tell you that. You know,
yes,
there's a
it
lot
is a video
of
game thing,
that,
yes.
You know, the Mass Effect games, it's like, oh, you go to this planet and there's like one place.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But he found a black box basically from a Starfleet ship and
that was involved in the initial burn.
In the burn. Yeah. So now that they have three of them, they can like triangulate to see where the burn came from and and basically the long and the short of it, they get back, they have the three black boxes and they can tell that it didn't happen simultaneously, as the history books say, that it happened. There was a split second difference between when it started.
Oh, yeah,
all three
billionths
of
a second.
Yeah, so it's like a chain reaction more so than a simultaneous thing. But.
Yeah.
And then Unification 3, basically they have to go. They go to Navarre, which is the Vulcan and Romulan homeworld, because they're now a unified people because Spock unified them.
Yep.
Episode 7, I texted you that. This got me a bit emotional about 13 minutes in.
Yep, yep. And I could see why, because
we got,
you know, Leonard Nimoy.
We got Leonard Nimoy as Spock, yep. You know, talking. And it was just like, oh. So, and apparently Project SB-19 was almost like a Stargate. How I kind of relate it.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
They were basically trying to come up with a different way to travel.
Yeah. And it possibly is the cause of the burn.
Yep.
Or they believe it's the cause of the burn. So Navarre would not release the data. Yes.
Yeah. So they're taking responsibility. Like, yep, we caused it. It's all our fault.
So, and they left the Federation. So Burnham wants the data so they can go, look, let's find out. Because Burnham is obsessed with finding out what caused the burn. Because in her mind, till they find out the cause of the burn, then the Federation and Starfleet can't move on, even though it was 120 years ago. Or she thinks it's the building block to help rebuild for the Federation and Starfleet to what it was.
Right.
So basically,
she pulls a plot point. I mean, she pulls an ancient Vulcan rite of basically saying, I have a hypothesis and I get to present it and you have to do it. And they're like, oh, well, you know, don't forget that our role in this is to basically discredit you and throw every bit of shit and shade that we can at you. And so sucks to be you.
Yeah. To Colin Kett.
Yeah. And we get to see that this is where her mom ended up.
Yep.
You know, because convenient. But Book is not in this episode at all.
No. No, he's not. And essentially, she goes, and at first, she's not 100% truthful. And then finally, by the end, she is 100% truthful. And even though the council decides they're not going to give her the information. Oh, no. The Romulans want to give her the information, but the Vulcans don't. And so she withdraws her request instead of forcing them to, you know, ruin what her brother started all those years ago.
I don't want a division between your people.
Yes, which was good. And so because of that, the president of Navarre then gives her the data.
Yep.
And, Tilly gets named acting first officer by Saru.
Yeah, because after episode 6, Michael is no longer first officer because she done fucked up.
Yeah, so she got demoted to just first science officer. So episode 7 is called The Sanctuary. Booker's back with, like you said, another plot point.
Yeah. That, see, this is why I said that. Because, you know, now suddenly he's back because his home planet is getting overrun by this vicious warlord who happens to be the head of the Emerald Chain, which is the big bad that we keep hearing about this season. But we don't meet them until episode 8.
Correct. Yes. And they save Book's home world and
he gets to reconcile with his brother.
Yeah.
And now we've discovered somewhere in these three episodes, we discovered that the MacGuffin of that song that seems to be appearing everywhere was also at the center of the triangulation point of the burn.
Yeah. Why does everyone know this song? Well, this is why. So we have...
I can't remember, was this at the end of episode 8? But they basically found out there's like it's a distress signal from a Starfleet vessel.
Yes. Yep. Also, Culber stutters Giorgio, who is sick and been having blackouts and flashbacks, and she kind of implies that I know I'm dying, and he's like, it's not as simple as that. Let's go talk privately. And so something going on with Giorgio, Michelle Yeoh.
Which is going to come into play because the next two episodes that we have to watch are called Terra Firma Part 1 and Terra Firma Part 2, and she is a Terran, so...
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the next two episodes. I think what we should do is watch those, and then you want to watch those and call it a day on those? Do we want to watch? Or do we want to watch all the way through? Because essentially, this week, on New Year's Eve, they'll drop episode 12, and then the last episode drops on January 7th. So do we just want to watch 9 and 10? Because I have HBO Max now, and we haven't discussed watching shows on HBO Max or not.
Right.
And part of me is like, we should try to maybe finish this because we do have this, other shows are going to be coming back here in January as well.
Right.
We'll fill our plates up again.
Yeah. Why don't we aim for like Terra Firma Part 1 and 2 and Sukai?
Okay.
And then we'll see how it goes with... you know, how our schedules are looking around New Year's Eve.
Okay.
That sounds good to me. For the good of the people.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Big Mouth. This week's episode was kind of cool. It was called Cafeteria Girls. First day back in school. This was kind of cool for me because the two girls, basically Nick and Andrew, they discover that all the girls in their grade are taken, you know, they've hooked up with other people. So they're like, oh, we're not going to be able to have girlfriends. And they're like, wait a minute, we're in eighth grade. We could go get seventh grade girls. And they're looking around at the different girls that are available for seventh grade girls. And it's done like Netflix style. And the two that they pick are listed as cafeteria girls. And it's the two actresses who play in the Hulu show Pen 15. And that was kind of cool. I've talked about this show before. It's very interesting. It's very quirky. It's kind of similar to Big Mouth, except for a little bit more realistic. Less. Pen 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool to see those two crossing over here. They weren't playing the exact same characters, but it was cool to see them like, yeah. And basically that was the main story of it. Poor Jesse. Jesus, I feel so bad for Jesse because she is the sole recipient of Tito the Anxiety Mosquito's attention this week.
Yes.
And then Tito's old buddy comes to visit, and that's the Depression Cat, who Jesse has dealt with before, and now they're teaming up together because they love to work together and basically crush her spirits again.
Yeah, I thought it was funny how they talked about it, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit concerned about the next episode. It's called the Very Special 9/11 episode.
Yes. I was too at first, but it says on a trip to the 9/11 museum.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, so they're not doing the actual. Yeah. But yeah. I still enjoy the show. I felt this one was much more like the Big Mouth that I've come to love than the other ones were. And in fact, I think that they kind of knew that because there's a point near the end of the episode where, you know, the two girls, the cafeteria girls, they're like, no, this is our show. You guys have just been guest starring in it. And Maury and Andrew kind of have this whole thing where they're talking back and forth about some of these shows that go over the top and they go extra gross. And, you know, why would they do that? Why are they trying to get the people drawn in just by extra grossness? And then Murray's like, you know, oh, I'm going to go fuck this poop that I gave a name to. And so they're kind of like making mention. We know that we're doing this. We know that we're overly gross. And
so that they, so it's kind of funny because Jenny Slate had voiced Missy.
Yep.
Or voices Missy.
Had voiced her.
Well, but she does up until episode 9.
Oh, okay.
And I got a new actress takes over voicing her from episode 9 and episode 10.
Gotcha.
Because that's when that whole they must have been mid filming when they had the change of white people voicing black cartoon characters or et cetera. I was just noticing, I was kind of looking ahead at the number of episodes and the
names. That's episode Horrori House?
Yes. Yeah, it's a Halloween episode. Do we want to start doubling up where they're so short and just watch two a week?
We probably ought to.
Okay.
So we'll do Very Special 9/11 episode and Nick Star?
Yeah, we'll do two episodes.
Cool.
Talk about the champion. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was kind of interested in this, the dog dancing one, just because I thought it looked cute. I like dogs.
Sure.
But boy, this was so first off, usually in We Are the Champions, they give you the stories of like two or three different competitors that are all going for it. So there's like tension. Oh my God, which one's going to get it? You know, who's going to be the champion and blah, blah, blah. This one was not that. This one, it was all about the Russians, like period. The Russians are going for gold. The Russians need this. And so you knew, you were like, okay, so they're going to get it. So there was no mystery there. And then I felt like most of this was about the people rather than the dogs and the dancing. It was more about, you know, these Russian ladies and what they wanted and what they cared about. And so it didn't even feel much like a dog dancing episode as it felt like a, here's how the Russians are going to win this prize for themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it really wasn't that enjoyable to me as I thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah, because like you were saying, usually there's an element of competition.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't in this episode.
No. We got to see some of the other competitors like in the middle of it. And some of them had some damn good routines. But again, we just got like little clip montages of some of the routines. They didn't talk about like what it takes to make a dog dancing duo and, you know, the training that goes into it. So, yeah, I think they did poorly on this one.
There's only one more episode left, is there not?
Yeah, frog jumping.
Yeah, which, I don't know. There's potential that it could be fun, and then there's the potential that it just not.
Right.
Just not.
I'm already getting, like, the idea that this is going to be a lot of, like, redneck, hillbilly kind of stuff.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's frog hopping.
What did you think of Sweet Home? Episode 2.
I thought once again that it was very badass. Kind of flew by. This one really, like,
it was fast. Yeah, it really was.
Very graphic again. You can definitely see much more of the comic book influences than a lot of shows that are like, oh, this is based on a comic book. Like, this one blatantly tells you this is based on a comic book. But I don't know. I liked it. What'd you think?
No, I really enjoyed the episode. You know, we got some backstory about his parents and sister's death in the car crash, as well as his, you know, basically he's, well, he's kind of a shithead at their funeral.
He is. He's a shithead in general.
Yeah, he blames them for not leaving enough money that he can live on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get a job.
Because, you know, that's what we all think about when we're like, oh, yeah, somebody close to me in my life dies, I better be getting a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not, no, no, that's not how it should be.
No, no, it's not.
Yeah. But no, I really, like I said, I enjoyed the episode. I wish I could remember the characters more, unfortunately.
They don't talk names a lot.
No, they don't. And when you try to read, like, to remind yourself, they tell you things like, oh, this is the glutton monster, this is the lotus monster, and I'm like, I don't know what that fucking means. I really think you should watch this show. Yes. Oh, yeah, there was. The guy that they've portrayed as being, like, the gangster, you know?
Yep.
Where he had to fight in the hallway, where the girl from the first episode that ate that, you know, was pounding on his door and everything, where he's just kicking her into the wall repeatedly.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. He clearly is got some sort of I don't know if he's a monster so much, but he's got something going on. He's
he definitely got bit, has something going on.
The marks on his face, you know? So he's just an all around badass though, which I enjoy a lot.
Oh yeah, me too. I have a feeling I'll be cheering for him up until the point when I'm like, oh, now he needs to die.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. I think so as well.
We get how these things work.
Yeah. Yes, we do. I don't know. I think this is definitely a show people need to watch.
Yes.
Quite frankly. Yeah. There's 10 episodes. We're on episode 2. This is also another show I don't want to watch multiple episodes back to back, because if I do, I'm not going to be able to talk about them. Like, I can't feel like I can talk about them now. Because again, I don't know names.
Not only that,
I just know I enjoy it.
Like, at the same time, we're watching Alice in Borderland, which is similar but different. And in Alice in Borderland, each episode, you really feel like you're following everything that's going along. Whereas in Sweet Home, you can sit there and stare at the screen and watch everything happen. And then at the end, you go, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
So, yeah, it's rough.
Also, in episode 2 of Sweet Home, we learn, or we find out that they finally put out like a emergency alert broadcast telling people to stay in their homes, warning people about symptoms, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's another thing. So they've put it out there. It'll be interesting to see how we get to where we are from episode 2 to where episode 1 started, where it's a month later and you know, our main character's got the black eyes walking across the lands and
Yep.
So Alice in Borderland, I fucking love this show.
Wow. I did not expect this ending.
No.
Like, really legitimately thought that he was going to come up with a solution. And I'm like, what is this solution? What is he going to come up with? Nope.
Yeah. Like, all right, so in episode 3, Karubi basically, he has that radio that had the message about going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And Choda and Shibuki only have to the end of that day for their visas, so they have to play a game that day or they're done.
Right.
So they decide,
We've talked about that's how it works, but they've kind of been drip-feeding us anyway. But basically, when you're inside the game world, you have a visa, and once you play, you add credits, essentially. You know, if you succeed in the game, then you add credits to the visa so you can live longer without being nuked by one of those lasers. If you ever run out of credits, you know, if your visa ever runs out, then you are killed.
Yeah. Yeah, or if you refuse to play another game as well, you get the laser through the head.
Yep.
So we met some new characters in episode 2, but we don't see them in this episode. This episode is just about this gang of four people, the three friends who got in there together, and then Shibuki, the girl who had been there before them, but they helped the game in the episode 1. Mm-hmm. So Chota is still injured. Chota and Shibuki decide they're just going to go by themselves because, well, it's almost like Shibuki's trying to manipulate Chota.
Oh, she's absolutely trying to manipulate Chota.
That, you know, all your friends don't care about you. You know, that, you know, they their visas are good for another week or whatever it is. But the other two are like, no. We're going to go together. We're going to do this together because we're a team. We're going to help you guys get through this. So they go to the gardens for their next game, and they're the only participants, and they've entered it's a seven of hearts. Mm-hmm. And we get the flashback to where the guy talks about how a heart means that it's a game of love and betrayal.
Yeah. It's a mental fuckery game.
Yeah. And this game is hide and seek. And essentially it tells you that, well, it says only one player will manage to leave the garden alive.
Yeah.
They all put these collars on them, which are the same as the collars that exploded and killed the people in episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they have facial recognition on them. So there's three sheep and one wolf. And the wolf will switch to a player when they play hide and seek. When they find them, and they become the wolf. And you think about hide and seek, wolf and sheep, that, you know, okay, well, basically the wolf is there to kill the sheep. So the sheep have to hide and the wolf has to find them. No, not in this game. Basically the wolf wins the game. Whoever's the wolf at the end of the game lives.
Right. That's what it comes, so you're thinking, to. Well, by normal logic, the wolf would just not seek out any of the sheep and stay the wolf and win.
Yep. Right. But then the other sheep want to be the wolf and win. So it ends up being that the wolf hides and the sheep look for the wolf, if you will. But at first we get a little bit of betrayal at the beginning where Karubi looks at Arisu. Maybe I'm saying his name wrong, and gets to become the wolf. And then they kind of turn on each other a little bit and fight even. And then the wolf tries to hide, and then they're trying to find them. And then it's kind of interesting. And then basically, you know,
it changes when they make eye contact.
Because
they're wearing goggles. So if you make eye contact, if a sheep and the wolf make eye contact, then it transfers over. So that's why the sheep are seeking them out, because they want to make eye contact with the wolf so that they can become the wolf and then run and survive at the end.
And Arisu becomes the wolf and hides. And the reason why he hides from them is not so that they'll die, because he wants to figure out a way to beat this.
Yeah.
How can we beat this together? And the other thing you can do is you can kill the wolf and then make eye contact and become the wolf yourself. So, I mean, that's another thing that can happen, but this is why it's a game of betrayal, if you will.
Yep.
And while he's trying to figure out how to do it, they decide that, you know, they're friends, and basically Chota and Karubi decide that, you know, Arisu needs to win. Expendable.
It takes them a while to get there.
Yeah, well, not really, because they only have like 15 minutes to play the game.
Right. I meant episode-wise.
Episode-wise it does. Go ahead.
They're all in it for themselves. Like, these people turn on each other fast, and they want to kill each other. I mean, Karubi, like, goes right after the girl. He's like, I will fucking kill her, and I will become this, and I will survive. Because, you know, we see that he has a ring that he finds in the bar. That he had intended for that girl that he was working with, because he loves her. So, you know, he's got something to live for, is getting back.
He has someone to get back to,
But Chota doesn't have anybody to live for, even though, you know, she's telling him, you know, oh, I'm here for you, and I mean more than anybody. So, as you were saying.
Well, no. So, but the game itself has a time limit of like 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it's a short time limit, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But however, they make it drag out pretty long, and you're right. They go from attacking each other to suddenly buddy-buddy with each other, and then by the end, you're practically crying because they're professing their friendship. And poor Chota is holding Shibuki down and covering her mouth because she's trying to scream out because Arusi is trying to find them so he can give them the wolf because they deserve to live over him. And his friends are like, no, you're the one that deserves to live. So now the sheep are hiding from the wolf. And it was really emotional.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because like I said, you expected him to figure that out, to like find a solution and be like, yep, we're going to be okay. And no. Yeah,
he couldn't. And it's amazing because even Shibuki by the end is just like decided, yeah, okay, I'm accepting my fate, if you will. Because Chota takes his hand off her mouth and she doesn't scream. I don't know if they kissed or just hugged, but they're hugging each other. And then we see Kurubi's necklace or whatever, they go off and kill him.
Yep.
His head blocked. Bust up. We don't see it happen to Shibuki and Chota. We just kind of see they're dead and blood.
Yep.
And it kind of ends with Arusi. He still has the neck thing on and he's still in the house. He hasn't collected his card or anything like that at the end. It was a pretty somber, sad ending.
Yeah. So we lost three main characters.
Yeah, we did. We really did. And we're just down to Arusi now. And then the only other main character is the girl, the climbing girl. I can't think of her name now, that was introduced in episode 2.
Right.
Usagi.
So, and we're only three episodes in. Like,
yeah.
We lost three of the four main characters.
I didn't expect that. But
nope.
This is but there is only eight episodes in this season. So next episode will be the halfway point for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's psycho.
It's damn good is what it is.
It is. Yep.
Do we have any other shows? Is that all of them?
Let me double check, but I think that was it. Let's see. Discovery, Big Mouth, Sweet Home, Stand, We Are the Champions, Alice. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about some of the movies I watched.
Okay.
Real quick. So I watched two wrestling documentaries. Okay. One called You Cannot Kill David Arquette. It's on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. It was. It's easier to watch this for me to explain the story of David Arquette getting into wrestling. But if you remember the movie Ready to Rumble, I know you do.
I was going to say, I sent you the trailer for this, so I know about this. But right. Yeah.
But the movie Ready to Rumble that came out in 99 or 2000 or whatever featured WCW wrestlers and David Arquette was in it. That led to him wrestling in WCW and winning the WCW World Heavyweight Championship for 2 weeks. And it was just like the biggest mockery and people couldn't believe it. And he disrespected wrestling and it wasn't his choice. Someone made the choice and gave it to him. What are you going to say? No, if someone came to me and said, hey, I'm going to have you come in and do this spot match and you're going to win the WWE Championship. Yeah, I'm going to do it. You know?
Right. Right.
But David Arquette grew up loving wrestling, was a huge fan of wrestling, and it bothered him that wrestling fans felt that he was a joke and sullied the name of wrestling. And so he really wanted to prove a point and make a go out of wrestling. And this is kind of the start of him making that decision and some of the things he did, which I can't believe. And then him like getting into shape and losing 50 pounds and going to wrestling training and actually wrestling. And then, you know, it kind of shows, it also shows his life and struggles with acting and struggles with alcoholism and everything and this and that. And it was very interesting. I actually saw David Arquette wrestle when I was in New York last year in April, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And they show a little bit of that match that I saw that was there live in person on this. It was decent. It was good. I enjoy it. If you're a wrestling fan, watch it.
Okay.
If you're a casual wrestling fan, maybe watch it. If you like David Arquette, watch it. But I don't know if this appeals to just like the casual documentary watcher. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The other one I watched, another wrestling documentary, was called The Wrestler QT Marshall Story. That's on Amazon Prime. This was filmed in 2019 or 18, 2018 came out in 2019. It's about wrestler named QT Marshall and his attempt to try and make it to the big time. And what's funny is after this came out, you know, he ended up signing up with AEW and as an assistant to Cody. Then he became a wrestler there, and now he's made a pretty well good name for himself in AEW. But so it's again, this would be, if you're a wrestling fan, watch it. Otherwise, no one's going to care about it.
Okay.
I'll just quickly rip off the four holiday movies that the wife and I watched that I don't need to get into great detail about. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Okay.
We're going to watch the first one, but Wesley asked if we could watch the second one, which was funny because after something, oh shit, we watched another TV show Kate and I did. I'll get to it in a minute.
Okay.
We watched A Christmas Story. I don't need to talk about that. Everyone knows that one.
Yeah, everyone knows that one.
We watched It's a Wonderful Life. We always watch that every year. And then I threw Miracle on 34th Street on just to start it. And I didn't realize Kate had never seen it. She kind of got sucked into it, and we ended up watching all that one night as well before she went to bed. So
nice.
Those are all the movies I watched that were reruns for me, if you will. The other two, one, two, three, four, five, six movies I watched were all brand new.
Okay. I was going to say the four that I watched were all brand new. So
real quick, jumping back, Kate and I watched, I think it's 8 episodes of the Netflix series Dash and Lily.
Oh, I've seen the first three.
Yeah, we watched that.
Very enjoyable.
We liked it a lot.
Yeah.
That's right up your alley.
Yes.
You should just finish it and get it over. They're only 20 minutes, 30, 25 minutes apiece.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that.
Yeah. Yep. We liked it a whole lot. And that's all I'll say. You haven't finished it.
Okay. So what else did you watch? What are the six movies that you watched?
Well, okay, I'll say one I know you didn't watch.
Okay.
I went to the Redbox and I got Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, yeah. How'd that end up being?
Fucking absolute garbage.
Oh. I mean, I'd love to say that I'm surprised, but I'm not.
And Nicolas Cage's role in this film was not a minor role. And like, he wasn't introduced to like, say, 30 minutes in, but then he's in the rest of the other full hour of this flick. This was a stupid premise. This was just like, let's put a bunch of cool fight scenes in a movie. And hey, our budget's not that great. And blah, 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 blah. It was blah.
Yeah, blah. Gotcha.
What'd you watch for a film?
Tonight I watched the new Netflix mockumentary Death to 2020.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It was, it's just over an hour long. It's it was funny. You know, they did equal ripping on Democrats and Republicans. They started at the beginning of 2020. They had a number of different celebrities there. Sam Jackson had a lot of screen time. Tracy Ullman plays Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth the First, Part Two, as she refers to herself.
Nice.
And Lisa Kudrow's in there, and she plays the typical blonde white woman who is an avid Trump supporter. So, you know, she'll sit up there and she'll be like, and the only thing that they found for evidence was this, this entire transcript. And they're like, well, what did the transcript say? What transcript? Well, you just said that they found a transcript. There's no transcript, but you just said it. She's like, no, I didn't. This is what the media does. The media lies and twists things. They had Krista Milotti. I think she was my favorite character. She was, she refers to herself as the average soccer mom. You know, she's got the husband, the two kids, the cat, the dog, the nice suburban life. But she very much like, she is the one who researches all the white supremacy groups. She is the one who, she's had multiple instances where she's been caught on camera harassing black people, like, you know, harassing the black guy who's sitting in his own car and asking him for, you know, proof that it's his car and let me see your license and let me see your, and, you know, she's like, I mean, I was just inquiring. I only asked for like an hour. You know, and all he had to do was produce documentation. I don't know what the big problem is. And, you know, she had like five or six incidents like that this entire year. But it was funny. Lawrence Fishburne is the narrator and he has a great narration voice. So
yes, he does.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was funny. Nice. It was a funny look at what happened this year, which was a shit year, but it's by the guy who does Black Mirror. He was one of the primary forces behind it.
I'll probably check it out. I kind of wanted to, but I haven't. So,
yep.
Speaking of Netflix, I did watch the new Netflix original film Midnight Sky with George Clooney.
Oh, I did watch that too. I could add that to my list.
Okay. All right. So there you go. What did you think?
Oh my God. I knew watching the trailer for this, that this was going to probably bore me to tears. I didn't like it much. You know,
yeah, I didn't like it much either.
Okay. It dragged.
It's 2 hours long and it could have been 75 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. And even then, I think it could have been less.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the twist at the end, I don't want to give it away. I guess it's only been out 4 days or whatever, but the twist at the end, I honestly did not pick up on it or see it coming, if you will. So that did kind of surprise me a little bit.
It surprised me, but at the same time, I was like, do I care?
Well, that's the other thing too, because I want to shit talk it to you is what I want to do. Fuck, I'm going to shit talk it.
Okay.
The two that go to Earth, right?
Yeah.
Basically, like, I'm just going to go kill myself for funsies. Yeah, me too. Because, like, the fucking planets are radiated. They're not going to find their family living underground.
Right.
They're not in special radiation free suits. They're in fucking spacesuits.
Right.
So instead of going to the planet where they know they can live and survive, no, they're going to leave two people to go to the planet by themselves to apparently not have the human race continue, because the only thing they can do is have two kids, hope they have a boy and a girl, and then have incestual sex, the two of them, so they can create more incest babies.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be no mix in the pie, if you will.
Right.
So the human race is just doomed and done, over with. Done.
Yeah.
The last two people are going to live out their life on a fucking moon of Jupiter, and that's it.
Yep. The end.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that this was way too long, and we had two different stories going on that either one of them probably could have made a decent shorter movie by itself.
Yep.
But the fact that they like stitched them together just
Yeah. And they literally gave you no hope that they could come down and pick up him or the little girl or anything of none whatsoever. It was just like, I'm doomed. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
What's another film you watched?
Okay, this was one that my mother and sister had recommended to me. It's on Hulu. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas.
I've seen that. How is it? I haven't watched it. I've seen it on Hulu.
Oh, how is that? It was really good. It's basically the story of how Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol.
Okay. You know,
and how he was a big shot and had like six books under his belt or six novels or whatever, and everybody thought he was great. And then he came to America and flopped. And so he didn't have a lot of credit to his name, and he was kind of in debt, and he came up with an idea for this. And the reason it's called The Man Who Invented Christmas is because he talked about writing a Christmas novel, and at the time, Christmas was not a thing. Like, everyone was like, why would you want to do something about Christmas? It's barely even a holiday. Like, it's just another day of the year. Nobody's going to care about a story about Christmas.
Yeah, and that's what I heard as well.
Yeah, so you get to watch like the influences in his life, and like he comes up with the character of Scrooge, and he kind of talks to him sometimes, and he has a couple of people in his life that he bounces ideas off of, and he kind of lives the Scrooge life at one point. And it was good. It was really good. It was another good take on the Christmas Carol story, but this one's based on like some of the stories of how this came to be. So
cool. I like that. I can get behind that.
Yeah, you should check it out. You know, maybe not right now, but if you're feeling like adding something to your Christmas list for next year, then yeah.
Okay. Did you ever watch The Happiest Season?
I did not.
Okay, that's fine. I know you watched Soul.
Yes.
I watched it as well. It just came on Disney Plus on Christmas Day. Yep. It's not a premium movie, even though that was supposed to be one of their summer movies. I really enjoyed it. We all did who watched it. Wesley, Kate, and I.
I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I also, like, when I went into it, I was like, this is going to be kind of preachy. And it was like, it wasn't beat you over the head kind of, but it definitely was like preachy about, you know, the spark of life and your ambitions and your goals and personalities are created before you're ever even born. And, you know, the lessons that he had to learn about life, the lessons that she had to learn about being human and what Earth is like. I really enjoyed it for what it was, but at the same time, it just kind of nagged in the back of my head that it was, you know, kind of a little beating you over the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
But you guys all liked it?
We did. We liked it. Yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Did Wesley enjoy it?
He did.
Okay. Because I was talking to Julia about that, my girlfriend, and I was like, it felt to me like it was much more geared towards adults, you know, the themes and everything. And she's like, well, you never know. Kids watch stuff and they like stuff, you know, at different ages. So they could have gotten different things out of it. So that's why I was asking if Wesley liked it.
Well, I think he liked the silliness and he liked the comedy of it. Yeah, the cat. Yeah, exactly. You know, the little souls and yeah, there was a comedy element that he picked up on that he enjoyed. So
nice.
I watched three other movies.
Okay. I know one of them is one that I watched.
Yeah, Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
What was is that the last movie you watched?
That's the last movie that I watched.
Should we wait and do that at the end? Like after?
Yeah, we should probably do that since it's so new.
I don't really have any news and trailers to discuss, but so the other movies I watched.
Yep.
The other two movies I watched Birds of Prey and The Emancipation of Harley Quinn, blah 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 blah. I watched that on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
I didn't rent it. I watched it on HBO Max.
How'd you like that?
I liked it. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but I liked it.
Okay.
You watched it a long time ago, did you not?
Yes, I did watch it a long time ago. And, I definitely could have done without it.
Yeah, I don't look at the DC universe as being a universe. It's just, this movie's not part of anything, in my opinion. It's just a story they told.
It'd be kind of like saying that Barnes & Noble is a literary universe. Like, yeah, there's a lot of different books in there, but they're not all connected.
Exactly. That's phenomenal. No, I liked it. I'll watch Shazam now because I haven't watched Shazam yet.
That one I highly recommend.
So I'll watch that now. I mean, basically, I'm just checking boxes that I've watched these movies so I can talk about how I think about them. And as far as being like a standalone movie, I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
As far as it was way better than Jiu-Jitsu. As far as like, the way it tied in with the rest of the DC universe, fucking no, not at all.
Yeah.
Close. I watched Tenet.
Oh. Interesting. How'd you like it?
I red boxed it. I got it from the red box. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay.
I was not confused by anything in it.
Okay.
You have to pay attention to the movie. I've just seen a lot of people tweeting or posting about how confused they were by the movie, or they didn't understand, or they didn't follow along with it, or whatever it was. All you literally have to do is watch the movie, pay attention to, and listen to what the people are saying.
Okay.
If you're sitting there watching the movie looking at your phone or playing a video game or fucking around or not paying attention, then you're going to get lost because you're going to miss something or a key element. But if you sit and watch the movie, it's a good flick.
Okay.
Really is. That's kind of why it's made to be watched. I think that's why you need to watch it in theaters, because you're not doing anything besides focusing on it. Whereas at home, there's so many distractions.
Well, that was going to be my next question, was whether you felt that you missed out because you didn't see it in the theater.
No, I don't feel like I missed out because I didn't see it in theaters. It wasn't like Inception, which had like the twisting of the screen and flipping things upside down. But just like Inception, if you have to pay attention to that movie to understand it.
Right.
You have to pay attention to this movie. It's a very complex story. I'll say that. It's very complex.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the film.
Cool.
And I definitely would give it a good, hard, you need to watch. You definitely should watch this if you appreciate movies that are well thought out. And yeah. It is 2.5 hours.
No, it's definitely on my list. I really want to see it.
I did not feel like it dragged at all.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
I don't want to oversell it to you, but it's definitely worth your time.
It's already been oversold, I feel. At this point, yeah. I think between the controversy of it, between Christopher Nolan's name attached, all the trailers, the delays, everything that has been in every piece of media for it, I think this is already oversold. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing you can do to further oversell it.
Fair enough. The only movie news I have would be that I read today that Wonder Woman 84 has had the biggest opening weekend in the COVID era for movies at 16.7 million.
Yeah.
That's rough.
And as a result, Warner has fast-tracked Wonder Woman 3, and Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot were both signed on.
Oh, have they? I didn't know that.
Yep. Because it rocked the box office, which is so sad to say. Remember opening weekends of like 500 million?
Yeah.
You know, a bad opening weekend was like 80 million. And now they're like 16.9 million. My God, this thing is making so much money. And I get that at the same time.
Well, I'd like to know how many HBO Max subscriptions happened because of the movie.
I don't know that, but they did say that at least 50% of all HBO Max subscriptions watched it within the first day of it launching.
I watched it on Christmas night.
Yep. At least 50% of all HBO Max subscribers watched it Christmas Day.
Yeah, we watched. We came back from. I'm going to say Mrs. Mom's, but no one's going to know who that is. Kate's mother's house. There we go. Came back from Kate's mother's house on Christmas because we went there for Christmas morning or afternoon, whatever. And we came back. We watched It's a Wonderful Life. And then I threw Miracle on 34th Street on because I just started. I haven't seen it in years. And Kate got sucked in, so we ended up watching all that. Then her and Wesley went to bed at like 9 o'clock, and I put Wonder Woman on. And I was like, holy shit, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes or whatever it was. But,
yep.
So, yeah, I watched it Christmas night. And I read things throughout the day about people saying that it kept crashing or had buffering issues or this or that or whatever from everybody watching it. So who knows?
Yeah, didn't happen to me.
What else did you have for news or trailers?
So I sent you two trailers. One was Coming to America.
Yes.
So that looks like they fell right back into the groove.
It looks great. We get Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall playing like their dual characters in this, you know, the preacher's in there, the barbershop guys are there.
I love the barbershop guys kicking that guy out for making the black joke.
Yes. Well, making the African joke of the flies on the African's face. Like, hey, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
You need to get out of my chair, you know? So, yeah.
And then the other one that I sent you was The Little Things. It's a Denzel Washington thriller.
That looks great.
It does look great. Cause it's a Denzel Washington thriller, you know?
Well, in Tenet, the lead character is Denzel Washington's son.
Oh, nice.
And he's a good actor like his dad is. I mean, very similar in style. So,
and then I have a couple of news items.
Mm-hmm.
David Gordon Green, who apparently was behind directing the Halloween reboot, the most recent Halloween reboot.
Yes.
He's working with Blumhouse and they're going to make a sequel, not a reboot, but a sequel to The Exorcist.
Well, there's already been sequels. Is it a direct sequel to the original?
I believe it's a direct sequel to the original.
Okay.
Which would make sense because that's kind of what they did with the Halloween reboot was said, you know,
yes,
forget everything else. This is where we go.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there's been 1, 2, 3, 4 sequels to the first. So there's been 5 films in it, but yeah, I'm seeing it here now. Yeah. It's a direct sequel to the original. So,
yeah. So they're basically doing the Halloween thing and saying we're rebooting the universe.
Yeah.
MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, is exploring the option of selling off their studio and all of their film library.
Really?
Which would include all the Bond movies.
To who?
They didn't say. They just said that they're exploring options to sell off. And it also, I'm not sure if they're going to sell it off piecemeal or all in one lump sum. You know, they could do it separately, like, hey, these people are going to buy Bond, these people are going to buy this. So, interesting.
I think the BBC would be very interested in buying Bond.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi is making a new comedy series on FX. So I'm automatically going to watch it.
See, I'm going to watch it, yeah.
It's called Reservation Dogs, which is kind of a spin on Reservoir Dogs. But
yeah.
Here it is. As longtime friends, it was only natural. Oh, no, sorry. Reservation Dogs is a coming-of-age comedy that will follow the story of four Native American teenagers in rural Oklahoma who spend their days committing crime and fighting it.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And it's Taika Waititi. I mean,
yeah.
He spins gold all the time.
Well, yeah, he does. So, yeah, we're good there.
HBO Max, Linda Carter's Wonder Woman series is now on there.
Yes, it is.
And in January, they're adding Batman Beyond and Batman the Animated Series.
Nice.
So, again, I know that I've said this before, but I really think when you're coming right down to it, like CBS All Access, whatever, you know, get it to watch like Picard or Discovery and then get rid of it. It's not the type of service that you're going to be watching all the time. HBO Max is something that just keeps adding more and more content that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, my wife is already watching the hell out of Friends.
I bet.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai Season 3 is releasing a week early, so January 1st instead of January 8th.
This Friday.
Yep. And speaking of...
Do you know if they're dropping the whole series or one at a time? I can't remember.
I believe they're dropping the whole series.
Okay.
So speaking of... There is talk that they might open up Cobra Kai to Hilary Swank's Julie Pierce.
Really?
Yeah. They said, in our writer's room, we speak about literally every character that has appeared in the Miyagi-verse, so it's obvious that we've spoken about Julie Pierce. As to whether or not she'll return to the series, that's something you'll just have to wait to find out. We always say that our show takes place in the Miyagi-verse. In our minds, any story in which Mr. Miyagi was a character, with Pat Morita playing Mr. Miyagi, I should say, is canon to our world. I like how they added that in, so it's not Jackie Chan.
Well, and I appreciate Jackie Chan's role, of, but it was, yeah. The other thing, Will Smith's kid, I didn't like.
Yeah. So they said the next Karate Kid is part of our universe. We believe that the events of that movie happened. In terms of that movie, it has its pluses and minuses. One of the things that's really special about it is its early work for Hilary Swank, and she's gone on to be one of the great actors in Hollywood. Her performance is great in that movie, and her chemistry with Pat Morita is fantastic. So I would be open with that. I didn't like the movie, but I would absolutely be open to it, especially in that context.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Cool. And just for clarification, Jackie Chan didn't play Mr. Miyagi in the film. He played Mr. Han, but he played the Mr. Miyagi character.
Right.
Yeah. So
sorry, I should have clarified that.
Well, I didn't clarify it either.
And that's it for my news.
Okay. So that's it. We just have Wonder Woman to talk about.
Yep.
All right. Well, if those don't want to hear about Wonder Woman because you haven't watched it yet, we'll talk to you next week. And for those that want to talk about Wonder Woman 1984, stick around.
That's right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Can you believe that this is the 9th installment in the quote-unquote DC universe?
Again, I'm going to go back to Barnes & Noble universe. Like,
sincerely, this is the 9th film with Man of Steel, and then Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, and then Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, and Birds of Prey, and now Wonder Woman. These movies, Wonder Woman 1984, these movies are not lining up like the Marvel flicks did. Like, the Marvel flicks all interacted with each other. These don't. Like, other than... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, like, okay, Man of Steel started it, I guess, standalone Superman movie I actually enjoyed the hell out of. Then Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice get a new Batman, Superman comes back, we introduce Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, okay, Batman's in that, but that's the extent of it. Wonder Woman, absolutely amazing.
Yes.
One Justice of
the two,
League.
The two top-rated DC movies so far have been Wonder Woman and Shazam.
Yeah. Justice League, the Joss Whedon version I enjoyed. Aquaman is okay, but it's part of it. Shazam, I haven't seen how it's part of it. I haven't seen it yet. I heard. But is there anything in the Shazam movie that makes it part of the rest of the DC universe?
Yes. Between, okay. Like, they do make references to the greater, you know, like, one of the kids has a memento that's a Batarang. And okay. They do talk about Superman and Batman. And there is a PS scene that kind of ties it in. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Birds of Prey, again, other than the fact it's a sequel to Suicide Squad, there's nothing in it that ties it to the rest of the universe. Mm-hmm. You could take Birds of Prey and Suicide Squad out of the DC universe, and it wouldn't affect the rest of the films at all.
Right.
So, yep.
I agree with that.
And quite frankly, Aquaman didn't make sense because unless timeline-wise it takes place before Dawn of Justice, he's already been back there. You know what I mean?
Oh, and don't forget that now we're going to have to add the Snyder Cut in there and all the changes that it's making.
Well, apparently that's supposed to wipe out the original Justice League movie, so...
Yep.
But Wonder Woman of 1984, mm-hmm. What did you think? Just sweeping declaration of it, what did you think?
It was quote-unquote good. I definitely liked the first one way better.
Yeah, the first one was
dislike it.
Tremendously better. Yes.
It was definitely I had some issues with it. It was very heavy on the CGI.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, what'd you think?
All right. So the big opening scene of Diana as a child running the obstacle course.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, wasn't needed.
At all.
Like, if you took that off the movie, it doesn't affect the rest of the movie in any way, shape, or form.
Right, because that lesson never comes back to her.
Nope.
There's no real point in... It was another chance to show off those actresses and... Themyscira.
Well, it put Robin Wright and Connie Nielsen in the film.
Yep.
It basically got them in the film to continue their characters that they played in Wonder Woman and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other characters there, we got any issues with or like we didn't see them at all.
Right. In the first movie, there was a sizable chunk of Themyscira, and it meant a lot.
Yeah.
In this one, it was more just like tacked on.
Yeah. We learn about Asteria, who was a legendary Amazonian warrior who had this winged suit, and she stayed behind to fend off the men so that the Amazons could all escape.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't even see that in that opening sequence. That came later on when Steve Trevor sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells us about it. And then we kind of see the flashback scene, if you will, when he had the lasso of truth around his arm. And you know, we see the story of her and how we basically just see her eyes in the suit protecting her from the guys that are attacking her while the girls escape, kind of.
Yeah, they basically said this was how they came to go back to Themyscira, was they were being overrun by men. They all gave up all of their weapons, their best weapons, and melted everything down to make her one super suit of armor to stave off all the men.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that super by the end of the movie, but...
Nope.
I digress.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean... Other than, like, getting rid of that opening scene, mm-hmm. the movie itself, we see it's in 1984. You know, we see Wonder Woman being Wonder Woman. She's in D.C. She works for the Smithsonian Institute as an anthropologist. You know, she helps people in her Wonder Woman costume at the mall.
But she knocks out security cameras and, like, tells the little girl to be quiet because she's trying to be Batman, I guess. Yeah.
Her tiara acts as a batarang now all of a sudden.
Yep. Oh, there were a lot of now all of a suddens, like the Lasso of Truth now all of a sudden being able to give people visions.
Yeah.
Or the invisible jet.
The invisible jet. Well, they at least they explain the invisible jet.
Uh-huh.
Sort of by saying, like, my mother made, you know, Thysteria.
Thymaskira invisible. Yeah.
And I've been practicing how he does it, and so here we go.
I did like how she said, basically, yeah, I got it to work once on a coffee cup, and I've never found it since.
Yeah. But I guess if she was in the coffee cup, she could find it.
Right.
A little bit easier. I don't know. We just got her being a badass. They explained with this wishing stone, if you will, how Steve comes back.
Yep.
We see that he is... He's inhabited somebody else's body.
Yep.
And we see it at first, but then, you know, we only see Chris Pine after that because all Diana can see is his original form.
Right. So it was a little confusing at first, but then, like, once they explained that that's what was going on, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's how he came back, because she made the wish. But at the cost of making the wish, she was losing her powers.
Yes, which they didn't really... they explained it, but at the same time, it was like,
It was like they tried to explain it with the old monkey's paw. You make a wish, you get your wish, but it comes at a cost. And it's usually more than you bargained for, type of thing. And then we get rid of Steve by her basically saying, I renounce my wish, because that's what she has to do to get her powers back so she can stop Max Lord and Chitara. No.
Cheetah.
Yeah, it's Chitara, for Christ's sakes. It's evil Chitara.
Yeah.
But it was okay. It was, all in all, I watched it. Will I watch it again? You know, probably not. Will I watch the first Wonder Woman again? Hell yeah. It's an amazing film.
Absolutely.
Will I buy this on Blu-ray when it comes out to put my collection? I don't know. Like, if I was a completionist, I'd want to, because I love the first Wonder Woman so much. Maybe I do want to watch this again someday, type of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the completionist in me is almost like I kind of need to, because then I'll have all the flicks that she's been in.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I thought she was good in Batman vs. Superman. I thought she was great in the first Wonder Woman movie. I thought she was great in Justice League, you know? So she's been kind of, Wonder Woman's been kind of the glue holding this universe together.
Yep.
So far. So, and they're making a Wonder Woman 3. I'll watch that. Hell yeah, I'll watch it. If the theaters are open, I'll go see it in the theater. So, but, what's your thought on it?
Again, like, I felt that a lot of this was overly CGI'd, especially, I agree with all the people that Cheetah, in the end, they should not have gone the CGI route. I really liked watching Kristen Wiig's transformation. How you could tell, like, when you started piecing it together and you started seeing, okay, you know, it takes away what you hold dearest. And so, like, for Diana, it was her power. So, you know, she was taking some damage from bullets, and she wasn't as strong, and she wasn't as fast. And, you know, she had lost a couple of steps. And so, like, applying that and being like, oh, I can see what Kristen Wiig is losing. You know, Barbara, she's losing her, you know, humanity. Her spark, her life, you know, her kindness. Which of course that's a slippery slope, because then you don't care about it. You know, you don't say, oh, well, I'm losing my humanity, so I should go back and try to get it back. I would have liked to have seen Kristen Wiig with, like, some makeup and prosthetics on, rather than a completely CGI'd version of her. Also, I felt that, like, her her abilities at that point. Like, they kind of changed the whole wish thing. Like, Max's whole thing was he was brilliant. Like, I loved the fact he kind of took the twist on the old genie thing, you know, where you're like, oh, I wish I was as powerful as the genie. And then you're kind of cursed to be a genie. Well, he turned himself into the wishing stone so that he could grant wishes, but then take what they held dearest. And he got to choose what he took from them, which was cool. So I really liked that aspect of it. But then, like, at the end, he changed it because he's, like, taking stuff from people. And he's like, I'll take your this. I'll take your this. And you can I'll take this from you, but give it to her. And so now he's just, like, flinging powers over at her and turning her into Cheetah. I don't know. That kind of rubbed me a little wrong. Also, it kind of changed it so that, like, Cheetah has been a longtime rival of Wonder Woman. Like, she is a foil. Some would even say that she's right up there with, like, some of Batman's top guys. I wouldn't say Joker, but she's right up there with some of the top versions of bad guys. And now she's gone. Like, she appeared in this movie and now she's gone in this movie. Did you mute me?
Sorry, I leaned on my mute. Okay. So you can't hear me talk. Yeah. Yeah, she can't appear in any other future Wonder Woman movies or any other DC movies because she renounced her wish.
Well, that's the thing is, they did say in an interview that you never know if she renounced her wish because they don't. She never specifically says that. She's sitting there and she's kind of like huddled up and she doesn't look like Cheetah anymore, but she never renounced her wish. So you don't know if she kept anything, but I mean, I still felt like she's kind of out.
Me too.
And we never got a really, like, I don't know. I wanted to see some real good fights between them. And the one that we got with a full, cause like when she's first showing off her massive powers, Diana is weak.
She gets her ass kicked.
So it wasn't even a fair fight. You couldn't even see the two of them go at each other. When we get Chitara and versus Golden Armor Wonder Woman, first off, as I alluded earlier, she rips that armor to shreds.
Yes.
This is supposed to be the pride of the Amazonians holding back all of the armies of men. And Cheetah's like, nah, I'll rip it apart.
But Chitara's super strong.
Yeah. I again, kind of like with Max, I like how she got her powers, which was basically saying, I want to be like Diana and not realizing that Diana's fucking Wonder Woman.
That was cool. I did enjoy that as well.
But it's kind of like that episode of Game of Thrones. They shot this whole thing took place at night. And I think part of that is because they felt so guilty over how crappy the CGI looked. You know, this thing had been wrapped up for a year. I know COVID happened, but all they had to work on was like the CGI effects and such. And it looked terrible. Like her in that form in the dark background, it was very blurry. It was very hard to see. And I didn't like that at all. So I really felt that detracted from it. And then the way that the fight ends where she basically like, oh, I'm going to hold you underwater and you get electrocuted, but I don't. Why not?
Yeah, I understand she's strong, but that it didn't make sense that she wasn't electrocuted either.
Yeah. I mean, so. She was wearing the gold armor, but her face was exposed.
Right. I mean, I'm glad I watched it. You know, I planned on watching it.
And again, I'm not trying to convince you that it wasn't good.
You're not.
Was a lot of stuff that was very enjoyable in it. I really liked the mental aspect of it. Like the wishing thing, watching Pedro Pascal to go from, you know, we just got the finale of The Mandalorian. And so you've got all these feels for him. And now you see him like this and you're like, fuck you, Max Lord.
I enjoyed Steve adjusting to,
modern world.
On clothes, you know, 1980s clothes, and how much he
dance. Does everybody parachute?
How obsessed he was with fanny packs, with the fanny pack, you know, the America bag, as he called it, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. It was just, I enjoyed, I enjoyed a lot of aspects of the film, but yeah, the overall story was kind of, again, maybe I'll watch it again someday in the future, but not anytime soon.
Yeah, I think people should watch it because it is one of the better DC Universe movies, but I can't sell it like I sold Wonder Woman.
No, I can't either. No.
So there's that.
I'm curious where part three is going to take place or how it's going to fall in the storyline. Is it going to be in current times? Is it going to be pre-Justice League and Death of Batman and Superman again?
Like, right.
Are we going to get Wonder Woman in the 80s?
Is she finally going to be over Steve?
Yeah. And we got the big PS scene.
Yeah. Pure fan service, but still totally worth it.
You know, at the end, we get the... It looks like you're seeing Diana from back two because the person is wearing the same outfit and has a long dark hair. And like this pole falls over and it was Asteria, as we find out, so it is, catches it and stops it from falling on someone.
Yep.
And crushing a baby or whatever it is. And the mother like thanks her and she spins around to say like, and it's Linda Carter.
Yep.
You know, the one in the 1970s series, and she basically says, "Oh, my name's Asteria, and I've been at this a long time." Mm-hmm. She turns and walks away. So,
yeah,
complete fan service, but I'm happy with it.
Yep, absolutely.
So, was that, anyways.
Yeah, I think that was it.
All right, short episode.
Yeah, quite short, but we didn't really have a lot to talk about.
And quite frankly, this week, there's not a ton either. A lot of the shows come back next week. So. Yep.
But we're going to be doing at least two episodes of Discovery, two episodes of Big Mouth.
Well, we're going to do three episodes of Discovery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
9, 10, and 11. And then two episodes of Big Mouth. And then we have Sweet Home and we have Alice in Borderland.
Yep.
And do we want to start, like, what should we start on? On HBO Max, The Flight Attendant. You already started that, didn't you?
I'm like three episodes into The Flight Attendant. So actually, I'm two episodes in. I've seen the first two. So yeah, if you want to start in on that one,
yeah,
that would be the most recent one. And then you've got other ones like Doom Patrol, and
I do want to watch His Dark Materials.
Okay, there's two seasons of that to watch. I've watched most of the first season.
Is that worth watching?
HBO itself. What's that?
Okay. Is that worth watching?
It's enjoyable, yeah.
What was the other one I wanted to watch? The other anthology one that just started this year?
Not Room 104.
No.
Or
maybe it's not an anthology one, but like...
Lovecraft Country?
Yes, Lovecraft Country.
Yep.
Have you watched any of that at all?
I have not watched any of that. I was waiting on you. So.
Okay, I do want to watch that. So do we want to start that this week as well?
Hmm. Sure thing.
Okay. Let's do that then. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's true.
We'll talk to you later.